Becatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Becatra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're cracking open a guide that's, well, it's really taken an ancient practice and made it feel completely essential for how we live right now. Mm-hmm. We are diving deep into the Headspace Guide to Meditation and Mindfulness by Andy Puddicombe.
And our mission for you today is pretty straightforward, really. We want to cut through maybe some of the noise, the preconceptions.
Yeah, all the myths.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And deliver something practical, a usable roadmap, you could say, for finding a bit more mental clarity. Because let's face it, if you're listening, you probably feel the pressure of modern life.
Oh, definitely.
Mental overwhelm. It's almost the default setting for so many people, isn't it?
It really is. It's that constant mental chatter he talks about. Puddicombe has this great image. He calls it the mind being stuck on a washing machine spin cycle.
That's a good one.
Yeah. You know, constantly churning through emails you haven't sent or worrying about next week or even regrets about something you did yesterday. Your mind's just everywhere but here.
And that really gets to the core promise of the book, I think. Meditation isn't presented as some mystical state you have to achieve or like an escape from reality.
Right.
It's positioned as a simple, practical tool, something for modern life,
yeah.
A way to find that inner headspace, you know, that feeling of clarity and calm, even when everything outside feels chaotic.
And to really get why this message lands so well, you kind of have to look at Andy Puddicombe's own journey. It's pretty unique. He's not your typical wellness guru. His background is kind of wild.
It really is. He started out as a sports science student, but yeah. Then after going through some really tough personal stuff, a tragedy.
Yeah.
He just felt completely overwhelmed by it all.
Which led him to make this huge life change.
A massive change. He dropped out of university and spent the next 10 years basically becoming an ordained Tibetan Buddhist monk.
Wow, a decade.
Yeah, doing really rigorous traditional training. Traveling, studying in remote monasteries, places like Tibet, Nepal, India, Myanmar. Serious stuff.
So he's got that deep lived experience. I mean, dedicating years meditating for like 16 hours a day sometimes, right?
Exactly. But then, and this is the interesting part for us, I think he decided to disrobe, to leave the monkhood and come back to secular life.
Yeah.
Why is that so powerful?
Well, it makes him the perfect bridge, doesn't it? He took all that profound ancient wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And deliberately stripped away the religious dogma, the cultural stuff that might feel intimidating.
Right, making it accessible.
Totally. He speaks directly to people like us, you know, busy and maybe a bit skeptical. He's basically saying, look, I know this stuff works from deep experience, and I know how to make it work for your everyday life, your 9-to-5.
And his credibility isn't just from the monastery years. It's also from co-founding Headspace, the app, and teaching literally millions of people, understanding the hurdles beginners face.
Okay, so let's unpack the book's central idea. If I'm totally new to this, what is meditation actually trying to do, according to Puddicombe?
He's really clear on this. Mm-hmm. Meditation, fundamentally, it's about creating space in your mind. Think of it like mental fitness.
Okay.
Just like you go to the gym for your body, you sit down to sort of strengthen your attention and your awareness. And the goal is absolutely not to eliminate thoughts.
Ah, that's the big one, isn't it?
It is, because it's impossible, right?
Yeah, you try for 5 minutes, your mind races, and you think, oh, I'm terrible at this. This isn't for me.
Exactly that. And Puddicombe spends a good amount of time just dismantling that myth right at the start. He really emphasizes you don't need mystical experiences, you don't need religious beliefs, and you definitely don't need to sit in some crazy, uncomfortable posture.
No pretzels required.
No pretzels required. He makes it super clear. This is accessible, it's secular, and it's fundamentally just about observing your own mind.
And the book lays out this really clear path for the reader. It's structured so well. It's quite brilliant in its simplicity, actually.
Mm.
It takes you from, like, demystifying the whole thing.
Getting rid of those initial barriers.
Yeah. Then introducing his famous take 10 technique, just 10 minutes. And then it shows you how to bring that calmer state into the rest of your day. You know, mindful walking, mindful eating, all that stuff.
And that structure is so important because he's deliberately aiming this at, well, busy people.
Mm-hmm.
Stressed out urban professionals, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
People who think they just don't have time for one more thing.
Right.
So the approach has to be short, practical, right away. And this is key for the skeptics. It's science-backed.
Okay, let's get into some specifics then. Part one, the approach. The big hurdle is always thoughts. You know, how do we deal with them? He tackles that empty mind myth straight on. What's his main analogy?
The blue sky analogy.
Yeah.
It's really powerful and easy to grasp. He says your mind at its core is like a vast, clear blue sky. It's always there, fundamentally untouched. Your thoughts, feelings, emotions, no matter how busy or stormy they seem, are just like clouds passing through.
Okay.
They might cover the sky for a bit. They might be dark and heavy, but they don't actually change or harm the sky itself. The practice is learning to rest in that awareness of the blue sky, even when the clouds are there.
That visual is instantly helpful. It takes the pressure off trying to stop the clouds. But okay, for the listener who needs a bit more, maybe the technical side, how does just focusing on your breath actually change your brain physically?
Right. And this is where he bridges the ancient practice with modern science really well. He talks about neuroplasticity, the brain's ability to change.
Okay.
We know there's this network in the brain, often called the default mode network, or DMN.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the part that's active when our mind wanders, ruminates about the past, worries about the future.
A mental chatter network.
Pretty much, yeah.
Right.
The brain's internal fidget spinner, as you put it earlier. And the simple act of gently, repeatedly bringing your attention back to something neutral, like the breath.
Just for 10 minutes. Even just for 10 minutes, it acts like a break on that DMN.
Yeah.
You're strengthening the prefrontal cortex, the part involved in focus and rational thought. And doing that actually helps trigger the parasympathetic nervous system.
The rest and digest system.
Exactly. It physically counteracts the body's stress response. So you're literally rewiring your brain and body for more calm over time.
That link is so important. It's not just wishful thinking. It's actual physiological training. Which brings us perfectly to the workout itself, part two, the practice and that core take 10 technique.
Yep, the foundation. And the instruction itself is incredibly simple on the surface. Sit down for 10 minutes, focus on the physical feeling of your breath, maybe the rise and fall of your chest or the air of your nostrils. That's it.
Simple, but not easy. I can guarantee anyone trying this, by day two, maybe 3 minutes in, their mind is completely gone.
Yeah.
Thinking about the grocery list or that awkward thing they said 5 years ago.
Uh-huh. Yes. The classic monkey mind.
And that feeling of, I can't do this. My mind is too busy. It feels like failure, doesn't it? It does.
Mm.
But that feeling is based on the biggest misunderstanding in meditation. And Puttikam completely flips the script here. He says the goal isn't to stop the traffic, the thoughts.
Okay.
It's more like sitting calmly on the side of the road and just watching the cars in the suit. The thoughts go by. Don't try to flag them down. Don't jump out in front of them. Just watch.
Just observe.
And here's the really crucial bit. That moment when you realize your mind has wandered off.
Which it will, constantly.
Constantly. The moment you notice and you gently, kindly, without judging yourself, just guide your attention back to the breath. That is the key moment. That's the most important rep in your mental workout.
Wow. Okay. So noticing you're distracted isn't failing. It is the practice. Like doing a bicep curl for your attention muscle.
Precisely. That's such a good way to put it.
Yeah.
You just acknowledge the thought, ah, there's a worry car, and gently return. It's in that gentle returning, done with kindness, that you build resilience, patience, and that non-judgmental awareness. It's a moment of success every single time.
That reframing is huge. Okay, so once you start getting the hang of this on the cushion in your 10-minute mental gym session, the next step is taking it off the cushion, right? Integration.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because the formal 10-minute sit isn't the end goal. It's just the training ground. It's conditioning, really, for the other 23 hours and 50 minutes of your day.
So how does that work?
Puttikam gives some great, simple examples, like mindful walking. Instead of walking to your car, totally lost in thought about your next meeting.
Which is how most of us walk everywhere.
Right. You consciously choose to use the physical sensation of your feet hitting the ground as your anchor. The rhythm, the feeling, it brings you right back to the present moment.
I tried mindful eating based on his guidance once. I spent about a full minute just looking at and then slowly eating a single blueberry.
Uh-huh. And how was it?
It sounds a bit silly, but honestly, I noticed textures, subtle flavors I'd never registered before. It completely changed that mindless shoveling habit into, just for a moment, being really present with the experience.
That's it, exactly. And he also offers what he calls the Headspace Gym, more specialized practices for specific needs.
Ah, okay. Like what?
Well, for instance, if you find yourself struggling with difficult relationships or feeling irritable, there's loving kindness meditation to cultivate compassion. Or if you have trouble sleeping.
Yes. Big one for many people.
There are body scan techniques. These guide your focus away from those racing thoughts at night and anchor your attention in neutral physical sensations in the body, which can really help you drift off.
So, stepping back from the techniques, let's talk about the big picture. What are the core themes or messages running through this whole guide? I see maybe three big ones.
I agree. The first one I'd say is awareness rather than control. We waste so much energy trying to push away thoughts we don't like or suppress difficult feelings.
Yeah, fighting with ourselves.
Exactly. And the book shows how that resistance often just makes the mental clutter worse. The real power comes from learning to observe gently, with curiosity, without judgment. Maybe ask yourself, how often are you making your own stress worse just by fighting it?
That shift from fighting with your thoughts to just noticing them, that's key. Okay, theme two.
For me, it's consistency over intensity. This one really lowers the barrier to entry. Puddicum insists that the real transformation doesn't come from occasional hour-long meditation marathons.
Why?
It comes from the small, daily commitment, just showing up for 10 minutes consistently.
That makes it feel sustainable, doesn't it? Takes the pressure off trying to be perfect or achieve some lofty goal right away.
Totally. A small, steady habit is way more powerful in the long run than big sporadic efforts that lead to burnout.
And the third theme ties back to what you said earlier, mental fitness as parallel to physical fitness.
Yes. The mind needs regular exercise, just like the body. And the benefits, also like physical fitness, are gradual. They accumulate over time.
So you don't expect instant enlightenment after one 10-minute session.
Any more than you expect a six-pack after one visit to the gym. It requires patience and consistency.
Puddicum is also really good at framing these ideas memorably, isn't he? The book has some great lines that just stick with you.
He really is. Let's touch on a few of those key quotes, or the essence of them anyway.
Okay, the first one tackles that blank mind myth head on. Meditation is not about switching off. It's about switching on to what's happening in your mind without getting caught up in it.
Mm-hmm. That redefines it immediately. It's not about zoning out. It's about tuning in with awareness.
Then there's the one about acceptance versus struggle. We have a choice. We can either try to resist and fight the difficult thoughts and emotions, or we can learn to observe them with a kind and curious awareness.
That choice point is everything, isn't it? Between suffering and finding a bit more ease.
Definitely. And maybe the most important one, especially for beginners, the one that gives you permission to be imperfect. When you notice your mind has wandered, that is a moment of success, not failure.
That line is pure gold. It's the engine for building self-compassion right into the practice itself. It keeps you going.
So let's make this super practical. How can someone listening right now start applying these ideas immediately?
Well, the book offers fantastic tools for just navigating everyday life, especially stressful moments.
Like what? Give us application one.
Okay, number one, daily stress and emotional regulation. The core skill here is learning to insert a pause, just a few conscious breaths before you react.
Ah, the pause.
Powerful.
So powerful. Imagine you get a really frustrating email. Your first instinct might be to fire back an angry reply, right?
Guilty.
We've all been there. Instead, you pause. Notice the heat rising in your chest, maybe. Take three slow breaths, then respond. That gap allows for a skillful response instead of just a knee-jerk reaction. It's huge for work, for parenting, for everything.
Okay, application two.
Focus and productivity. The attention training you do in the 10 minutes directly translates. By constantly practicing bringing your focus back to the breath, you're literally strengthening your attention muscle, so you get better at resisting distractions.
Exactly. Resisting the urge to check your phone every 2 minutes. Staying with a complex task for longer. It boosts your ability to concentrate.
Makes sense. And application three. You mentioned sleep earlier.
Yes, sleep improvement. Using the body scan technique at bedtime can be revolutionary if you struggle with racing thoughts at night.
How does that work again?
You systematically bring your attention to different parts of your body, just noticing the neutral physical sensations, the weight of your head on the pillow, your arms resting, your feet. It gently pulls your focus away from the mental chatter and anchors it in the present physical reality, making it much easier to drift off to sleep.
Those are really concrete applications. Okay, final takeaways. What surprised you most, or what really stood out for you from this deep dive?
You know, what strikes me most is just how incredibly practical Puddicum makes this ancient wisdom. He really removes all the excuses, all the intimidation. He shows that this sense of peace or contentment isn't something out there you have to chase or achieve. It's more like a natural quality that's already within you. And it starts to emerge when you simply stop fighting so hard with your own mind. The freedom comes from changing how you relate to your inner world.
That's profound. For me, I think it was the radical accessibility. The idea that something so seemingly simple, just 10 minutes of paying attention without judging yourself, it actually lead to pretty deep internal shifts over time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about escaping life. It's actually about learning how to be fully present for it, the good and the bad.
That's a great way to put it. And maybe that's the final thought for you, the listener. If that clarity, that blue sky, is always potentially there, what stormy clouds are you currently exhausting yourself fighting? What if you just started gently observing them instead?
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.